Welcome back. Today we're working with Issue Templates, one of GitHub's best tools for turning a messy intake process into something calm and useful.
I love that framing because a blank issue box can feel like being asked, please describe everything important, with no clue what important means.
Exactly. An issue template gives contributors prompts before they submit. It can ask for steps to reproduce, expected behavior, actual behavior, environment details, assistive technology setup, or anything else maintainers need.
So the template is not just making the issue look tidy, it's helping the contributor include the information that lets someone act on it.
Yes, and for accessibility projects, that matters a lot. If a report says button broken, the maintainer has to ask follow-up questions. If the report says which page, which screen reader, what happened, what should have happened, and how to reproduce it, the conversation starts much farther along.
Before somebody builds one of these, what should they already have in place?
You should already know the basics of GitHub issues. Opening them, reading them, and moving through the page. You also need a repository where you have write access, such as a personal practice repo or another repo you control. And you want an editor that understands YAML files because color highlighting helps you catch mistakes.
YAML is the format with indentation rules, right? Friendly when it's right, fussy when it's not.
That is a fair summary. VS Code is a good choice, but GitHub Dev or the GitHub web editor can work too. Copilot can help generate variations, and notification knowledge is useful, but neither one blocks you from doing this chapter.
There's also a nice built-in example here. Learners already filled out the workshop registration form earlier.
Right, and Challenge 14 Template Remix uses that real registration template as the model. The work pattern is to analyze it, remix it for a new purpose, optionally create a markdown version, and optionally test it in the template chooser. Plan for about 2 to 2.5 hours if you're doing the exercises and dealing with YAML troubleshooting.
And Challenge 14 is design-focused, not an auto-graded code puzzle.
Yes, your evidence is usually a comment on your assigned Challenge 14 issue or a pull request that shows the template you analyzed, remixed, or created. A good completion comment can say whether you analyzed the registration template, what context you remixed it for, whether the YAML validates where you committed it, and whether you tested the chooser. On GitHub, issue templates live in a specific place, the GitHub/issue template/directory inside the repository.
So if GitHub doesn't find the file there, the template won't show up where users expect it.
Correct, a markdown issue template usually ends in MD. A YAML issue form usually ends in IML. GitHub reads the files in that folder and uses them to build the template chooser page when someone activates new issue.
That's the page where you see choices like bug report, feature request, documentation issue, or whatever the project has configured.
Yes, the chooser can also be shaped by a config.yaml file in that same issue template folder. That file can add helpful external links, such as a support forum or security reporting page, and it can control whether people can open a blank issue without choosing a template.
So the project can guide people toward the right path without blocking every unusual case.
Exactly. A mature project often offers a few well-named templates, useful descriptions, and maybe a blank issue option if maintainers still want open-ended reports. Let's read one like a maintainer. At the top of a YAML form template, you'll usually see keys such as name, description, title, labels, and sometimes assignees.
What does each one do in practice?
The name is what appears as the template choice. The description is the helper text in the chooser. The title can pre-fill the issue title with a prefix like bug report or event request. Labels are added automatically, and assignees can route the issue to a person or team if the project uses that workflow.
Then the body is where the actual form fields live.
Right, in the workshop registration template, you can see several field types. A markdown field displays instructions only. An input field collects one line of text, a dropdown offers a list of choices, and a text area gives someone room for a longer answer.
And each field has its own little set of details.
Yes, the ID is the internal name for the field. The label is what the user hears or sees as the field name. The description explains what to enter, the placeholder gives an example, and validations can mark a field as required.
The chapter asks learners to search the file for accessible too, not as a word game, but to notice that the form description promises the fields work with screen readers.
That's professional template design. The template doesn't just collect data. It sets expectations, reduces confusion, and makes the contribution process more predictable than a single empty text area.
Once you've read the registration template, the remix challenge feels less intimidating. You're not inventing the whole structure from nothing.
Exactly, for challenge 14. 2. You copy the registration template into a new file, often something like github/issue template/mytemplate.yaml in a repository where you can commit changes. You keep the basic skeleton, name, description, title, labels, and body. You also keep the field pattern, type, ID, attributes, and validations.
But you change the meaning of the form.
Yes, you might turn it into a bug report, event attendance form, product research intake, or accessibility audit request. Change the labels, descriptions, placeholder text, drop-down options, and title prefix so they fit that new purpose.
And then decide what truly needs to be required. It is tempting to require everything, but that can make forms exhausting.
Exactly. Required fields should be the information maintainers need before they can take action. After that, validate the YAML, fix indentation or syntax problems, commit the file, and push it to your repository.
The optional Markdown template is different enough that it's worth trying once.
It is. A Markdown issue template starts with front matter between three hyphens. It uses name, about, title, and labels, and that about key is different from YAML forms, which use description. Below that, you write headings like problem, context, and solution ideas, often with HTML comments that guide the user without appearing in the final issue after they replace them. Testing is where the template becomes real. Open your test repository on GitHub.com, go to Issues, activate new issue, and check whether your template appears in the chooser.
If it doesn't appear, the first suspects are location, file name, and YAML syntax.
Exactly. The file needs to be under GitHub/issue template/. It needs the right extension and the YAML needs to parse. When it does appear, activate Get Started on your template and move through the fields.
This is a good time to test with a screen reader, not just visually glance at the page.
Yes, listen for field labels, descriptions, required indicators, drop-down choices, and checkbox text. Then preview the issue before submitting, because preview shows what maintainers will receive.
And the reflection matters. Ask whether the form helped you know what to write, whether anything was confusing, and whether the required fields were reasonable.
That's the kind of evidence maintainers can use. The best template is not the longest one. It's the one that asks clear questions in the right order.
Let's compare the two formats more directly. When would you use a Markdown template instead of a YAML form?
Use Markdown when the issue can be guided by a few headings and comments, and when you want the contributor to write in a flexible document. It's simple, portable, and easy to edit. It works well for lightweight reports or projects that do not need strict field validation.
And YAML forms are better when you need structure.
Right, YAML forms let you define specific field types. A Markdown field gives instructions. An input field is a single line, like a version number or URL. A textarea is for longer answers. A dropdown gives a controlled set of options. Checkboxes are useful for confirmations, checklists, or multiple selections.
That's also where required fields come in.
Yes, in YAML forms, validations can make a field required. That helps prevent incomplete reports, but it should be used carefully. A form with clear labels, short descriptions, useful placeholders, and sensible required fields is much easier to complete.
Especially when labels are specific. A field called details is vague. A field called steps to reproduce tells me exactly what belongs there.
Exactly. The field type should match the answer you want. Don't use a dropdown for something with hundreds of possible answers, and don't use a giant textarea when a short version number would do. An accessibility bug report template usually asks for a few core pieces of information. The affected component, the assistive technology setup, expected behavior, actual behavior, steps to reproduce, and any known WCAG success criterion.
WCAG is the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, right? The standards people often use to describe accessibility requirements.
Right? The template can make that field optional because not every contributor will know the criterion. It can also include additional context and a before submitting checkbox group, where someone confirms they searched existing issues or included reproduction details.
I like the assistive technology setup field. Without it, two people can experience the same page very differently and not know why.
Exactly. A screen reader name, browser, operating system, Zoom level, voice control tool, or keyboard-only setup can change the investigation. The goal is not to make contributors prove their report. It's to help maintainers reproduce the barrier respectfully and efficiently.
The chapter also includes a second kind of template, a feature request form.
Yes, a feature request can ask what problem the feature solves, what solution is proposed, who benefits, what alternatives were considered, and whether there are accessibility considerations. That keeps feature discussions from becoming only, please add this with no context.
And custom templates can cover almost anything. Audits, research interviews, event support, documentation updates, design reviews.
Exactly. Start by looking at the issue patterns your project already receives. Then decide the required fields, optional fields, placeholder examples, and help text. Test it yourself, and if you can, ask someone else to try it without coaching.
Let's talk about the actual file workflow. Some people will do this in the browser, and some will do it in VS Code.
In the browser, you can create or edit a file directly in. GitHub/issue template/paste in the template preview where possible and commit the change. In VS Code, you usually clone or open the repository, create a branch, add the template file, validate it, commit, and push.
File naming is one of those small details that saves headaches.
Yes, use clear lowercase names with hyphens like accessibility/bug-report.yaml or feature-request.yaml. Avoid spaces. And if you're using YAML, watch indentation, colons, quotation marks, and unique IDs for fields.
What are the common mistakes?
Tabs instead of spaces, a dropdown with options indented wrong, a colon in text that should have been quoted, or a required validation attached to the wrong level. If something fails, compare it with a working template, run it through a YAML validator, and check the chooser again. Issue templates are not the only templates a project can use. Pull request templates guide contributors after they have made a change and are asking maintainers to review it.
So an issue template helps describe the need, and a pull request template helps describe the proposed change.
Exactly. A strong PR template often asks for description, the type of change, how to test it, accessibility considerations, and related issues. Those prompts help reviewers understand both the code change and the reasoning behind it.
And they pair nicely. The issue says what problem exists. The PR says what was changed, how it was tested, and what accessibility impact was considered.
Yes, in the Accessibility Agent's living catalog and in other meaningful repositories, templates help maintainers keep contribution conversations clear as the project grows.
The hands-on work gives learners several ways to practice without treating one path as the only correct one.
Exercise A is to use an existing template. Navigate to the issues area of a project such as accessibility agents, open the template chooser, select a template, move through the fields, fill it in if appropriate, preview it, and reflect on how the template guided you.
And if you're only exploring, be respectful. Don't create noise in a public project unless the workshop instructions ask you to submit something real.
Exactly. Exercise B is to add an accessibility bug report template to a repository you control. Open the repo in VS Code or the web editor, create the template file, copy or adapt the YAML, validate it, create a branch and commit, test it on GitHub, test with your screen reader, and merge your branch if that fits your workflow.
Exercise C is about submitting upstream when the project is ready for that kind of contribution.
Right before opening a pull request, verify the template is useful, valid, and tested. In the PR, answer what the change does, why it is useful, how it was tested, and what issue it relates to if there is one. Then review your own PR, submit it, and respond to feedback.
And exercise D brings it home to your own project.
Choose a project, identify the issue patterns it gets or might get, design required and optional fields, write placeholders and help text, test locally, optionally deploy to GitHub and test with a friend, then reflect on what you would improve.
If someone gets stuck, where should they look first?
Start with a known working template like the workshop registration form and compare structure. Check the folder path, file extension, indentation, and front matter. Then validate the YAML and try the chooser again.
And if the form technically works but feels bad to fill out, that's a design problem, not a GitHub problem.
Exactly. Rewrite labels so they are specific, shorten descriptions, remove unnecessary required fields, and make placeholders realistic. Templates are about asking better questions before frustration builds.
There's also the Day 2 amplifier with the template builder agent later in the curriculum.
Yes, after you understand templates manually, Chapter 19 introduces a template builder in VS Code to help automate template creation. The important part is that you still review the output, labels, required fields, help text, accessibility language, and whether the template actually helps maintainers.
So Challenge 14 is not just make a file exist. It's learning how to structure a contribution so another human can respond well.
Exactly. By the end, you should be able to read a professional template, remix it, create Markdown and YAML versions, test the chooser, and explain why the template improves issue quality and reduces back and forth.